Sure, sure. Good morning. I guess like for me then like a natural way to begin is to sort of like, you know, acknowledge that the term crisis is used like in different ways. You know, there are like different kinds of crises and there are like different levels. You know, like a personal crisis or, you know, financial crisis, and there's, you know, levels of scale. But for me, I guess like when I was thinking about this topic, so the question is, like, you know, sort of, can I, you know, so what makes Marx's theory of crisis crucial, you know, and I want to highlight two features, you know, that are going to be relevant to the way I'm thinking about this, and one is this notion of intensification, like there's something about the way Marx theorizes crisis in capitalism that is not just like they happen a lot, but that they each new round adds like a new layer of intensity. And then the second feature, it's the, I guess also connected to the first, it's like this idea that runs deep through Marx of the long-term non-sustainability. And to me, these two things is like what make this is like the Marxist signature. You know, this is what makes, you know. And what I want to do with this, with my early comments, is sort of trying to just to sort of synthesize the Marxist argument, so that then I can respond to what is it about it that troubles me, and let me sort of give in a way the punchline now, which is like I actually don't like the language of crisis. Like, you know, I'm like, you know, we should be able to make the case for revolution when capitalism is working perfectly, you know, like, and not wait until it goes, you know, has its breakdowns today, and this is the moment, this is so. But the Marxist argument, the way I think of it, about it, goes something like this, okay? That as Marx tells the story of how capitalism works, you know, the distinction between, you know, social reproduction and social contradictions, like, you know, then the focus is on this notion of like internal dynamic contradictions to the system, okay? And the language of, you know, we have this thing, you know, we have this like empirical trends, you know, like the centralization, concentration of capital, and the intensity of productivity, and all of these empirical trends that Marx subsumes under this notion of the tendency of the fallen rate of profit. So we have this is very well-established sort of literature and argument in Marx, but it's not the only one. Then we have this other one that has to do with the notion of the anarchy of the market. You know, this is the tendency of capitalists overproduce. And this is in a way the 1-2 combo that generates the umbrella term for the economic crisis of capitalism and the sort of Marxist narrative. And with that background, so then to sum up, the intuition is something like this, like, you know, less technical, you know, something like this, like, you know, that as capitalism developed these forces of production, and as corporations control more and more of the markets, then these internal contradictions then flare up periodically, and that is going to be ultimately the demise of capitalism internally from within. The beauty of this argument is, like, you know, I have to add like a third leg to this, which is a notion that, you know, like then that these tendencies also create this historical agent of transformation that is called the working class and the Marxist tradition, you know, so on and so forth. So I think that's like a fair synthesis of, like, you know, of in a very general term. So, like, you know, what's going on with this notion of crisis. So there is, and now what I'm going to argue is, like, there is like a good use of crisis and there's like a bad use of crisis. Okay, and you know, think of it like, you know, politically and ideologically, like, you know, sort of crisis is used to sort of rally the troops, like in a world like a crisis mode, all hands on deck. You know, this is, we have seen this in many movies. You know, this is what I call, you know, the Lord of the Rings. You know, we're under attack. You know, everybody under that. So to me, that's a good use. Sure, you know, rhetorically it's very powerful, very energizing. You know, every book about leadership development, you know, on the left and the right, I acknowledge, you know, once you invoke this sense of urgency and emergency, you know, people will step up and you connect them to the life jackets and so on. Then you have the, what I call this sort of like analytical slash sort of empirical, you know, it's also, you know, very useful to analyze the strengths, you know, look, you know, there's something going on here that is not quite the way it's supposed to be. I also want to say, like, in a way, now with this crisis, it also was very validating for the Marxist camp. You know, that yes, we knew it. We knew that the real problem was like that. So there's this way in which internally it sort of refreshes, like, in a sense of validation and agency and this and that and so on and so forth. But there's another access to this, which is the one that I find problematic, okay, which is that this discourse of crisis, this is like an intra-Marxist sort of critique. What it does is like then privileges political economy over other forms of Marxist discourse, because it is political economy that is carrying the analytical weight, the explanatory power of, like, you know, when we talk about falling rate of profit, or like business cycles and so on and so forth. And I think that is actually part of the problem. When we think about it in terms of the left, you know, what's going on here? You know, not with the caveat that historically that promise of the intensification that leads to the ruptural break that we call revolution hasn't really happened. So against the predictions of what should have happened, you know, so on and so forth. So I want to target that, and that is part of the problem. So of what would the next left should look like. And also related to that is that it is distracting attention from what I think should be like other categories of analysis and other kinds of languages that could help us to sort of open windows of opportunity to think about what would class struggle look like in our current moment. So maybe that what I'm going to do is then I'm going to start now with this framing, then in the next round, then I'll move the